You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. Again, if you haven't been to the site, check out the free agency top 50 rankings, also the NFL Draft Big Board top 50, as well as the top players by position. Also have a couple stories up there that you can look at. Deshaun Watson, the Bears rumors, addressing that, as well as Von Miller potentially leaving the Broncos. So, all kinds of good fantasy and reality stuff you can check out from me and the rest of the crew there at SportingNews.com. Here on Locked On Fantasy Football, we're coming to the end of our look, the 2020 season in review, 2021 offseason preview series for the AFC South. So we've gone through the Texans, Colts, and Jaguars. We do have the Tennessee Titans to talk about today. And then we'll start with the NFC South next, so Atlanta Falcons will be on deck, and again, we'll break in if there's any breaking news with a special there. We've done a few of those shows, so if you check those out there on the archives, plenty of good stuff here breaking down what we just saw and what's going to go on here in the offseason that's just ahead here in March and April. So Titans are a good team to talk about, so let's dive into them as we close our look at the AFC South. We'll start at quarterback. Good place to start here. Ryan Tannehill, big year for him. Number 7 in overall scoring, 21.9 at quarterback. He averaged 11, so a little higher end QB1 in terms of availability and playing, but in terms of overall, fits right in there as a pretty good value QB1. Well over 20 points per game there for Ryan Tannehill. Looking specifically at numbers, picking up where he left off the previous season, good year for him. He had 7 rushing touchdowns. That was nice to pad it. But 33 through the air, 38-19. So, yeah, by far, this is Ryan Tannehill's best full season starting as a fantasy football quarterback. He averaged 7.9 yards per attempt. So, really settled in nicely to what the Titans are doing. Run-heavy offense. He gets into the mix. 7 TDs is huge because that put him at 40 total on the ground. We know that number can fluctuate with quarterbacks, but 260 or 6 yards rushing, so pretty good complimentary there, and almost nearly 4,000 yards passing. He also, reality-wise, 6 game-winning drives, 5 fourth-quarter comebacks. So I'd say this was overall Ryan Tannehill's best season, rewarded for being re-signed after breaking out as their starter over Marcus Mariota there in 2019. So yeah, big year for Tannehill. He's settled in this offense. It's on a roll. You do have the concern, however, that Arthur Smith has left the building and is now the Falcons head coach. So interesting, that'll be the next team we talk about with our series here, is that no more Arthur Smith, and Smith was the guy responsible. He was calling plays great. Now you get Todd Downing. At least Todd Downing has a consistency approach here, so it's a good transition. You do have a connection to Arthur Smith. He was the tight ends coach, so yet another promotion as they moved on earlier. And Smith got the jump up there. Now you have another situation. So keeping it in-house probably helps. The same style of play calling. We know Smith was in the zone, however. So again, running touchdowns, if you bring those down to maybe like 3 or 4, and no, the passing touchdowns may go down a little bit, you're still looking at a borderline QB1 here overall because of the running ability and this offense just being explosive with a lot of weapons. We know some things could change, however, in this offense. So I think Tannehill, I'm going to still say, is a borderline QB1 to me. I'm not going to go nuts. I don't think he can go higher than this. I think he pretty much has hit his ceiling here as a quarterback producer in the NFL. I don't see him throwing for 45 touchdowns or anything like that and 4,500 yards, especially not in this offense where Derrick Henry is the hammer for the Titans and the bread and butter of what they do, setting up the play-action bootlegs, throwing downfield. They just are like the Cleveland Browns, except they just are more efficient. They have the better running game, set up the downfield passing game, so everything's raised up a few notches here with Tannehill versus Baker Mayfield, and that's why you see the big number production. Now, Derrick Henry, what can we say in terms of overall points per game and half-point PPR? 20.2, that put him number two, the second RB on the board. He was fifth when you look at it in terms of points per game, but however you slice it, 20-27 rushing yards, special season there, 17 TDs. But the reason why you don't get Derrick Henry having a bigger bump than that is we know he doesn't offer too much in the passing game. He had 19 catches on 31 targets for 114 yards, no TDs there. So the majority of what he does is based in the rushing attack, but still pretty consistent here that you're going to get whenever you hit 2,000 yards, 126.7 yards per game. So you're already looking at a 12.7 baseline. And then you get 17 TDs, so you add a little bit more to that, or 17, I should say. So you add more than one a game here for Derrick Henry and a few receiving yards that put him over the 20 mark here. So, again, very rushing dependent. He could drop down easily from 2,000, still be around 18. You're not going to necessarily see his role bump up in the passing game. They don't need him in that capacity here for the Titans. But, again, big year. He's always going to be a heavy touchdown scorer. So it may not be 17 because we know that number can fluctuate. But 13 to 15, yeah, I think that's in range here with the volume. He gets 378 carries. That's an insane amount. Well, close to 22, 23 touches per game there. So when you look at that, I mean, pretty special guy that gets the workhorse carries here and really produces. But again, not going to give you much in the passing game. He's a much better standard league player, but he's still, that says something when he's not an active pass catcher and still finishes number two overall, number five in the scoring average there. So Derrick Henry, the offensive line, somewhat in flux here a little bit. We're going to look at that, but they had some changes last year. They lost Jack Conklin. Taylor Lewan wasn't healthy, but Derrick Henry still kept on going. So, again, one of the safest bets in fantasy football at this point. He still has a few more years left. He was 26 last year, so maybe 2 to 3 years of really top-flight production from Derrick Henry left. But, again, a lot of volume. He could break down at some point, but I still think, remember, he didn't start necessarily as the hammer early in his career. He's kind of built into that role the last 2.5 seasons. So, again, I give him 3 seasons easily to produce at this high level in fantasy football and a great offense tailored to his strengths. And really, when you look at the backup, there was no real backup solution. You had Dante Foreman come in late. You had Jeremy McNichols ended up being the second back, but really not a lot of touches there. 47 rushes and 12 catches for McNichols, so less than 60 touches for him. Dante Foreman was involved a little bit. He had 23 touches, but just these other guys that we thought was going to be a bigger factor, Darrington Evans leading those guys, the rookie from Appalachian State. He couldn't stay healthy either, so I think Evans would be a bigger backup to Henry here in year two. He is a pretty good back, so assuming he's healthy, I think he would be the top handcuff, although Derrick Henry has proved to be really durable with his size, strength, and power here for the Titans. All right, there's a look back at quarterback and running back, and we think there can be some sustainability there with the scoring. We'll look at wide receiver, which was also fruitful for the Titans in our next segment. But first, I got to tell you about Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why your door often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning, and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. With the rockauto.com catalog, you'll find something unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and most important, prices you prefer. It doesn't matter if you're a classic driver or a daily driver. Get everything you need in a few easy clicks to deliver directly to your door. At rockauto.com, you'll find everything from engine control models and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Rockauto.com, you can feel good about supporting them or a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now to save and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Make sure you write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car or truck will ever need. That's rockauto.com. We'll be right back here to check in on A.J. Brown and Corey Davis and the Titans receiving core and their production from 2020. All right, let's move on to look at wide receiver, tight end, defense, and kicker and what those positions produced here for the Titans and where they can improve, where they were at last year. But I do have to remind you that February was Black History Month, and Locked On Podcast Network was honoring the challenges and success of Black women in sports with a new series called Locked On Presents More Than the Game. This week, you can catch up on two conversations for you to wrap up the month. First, a discussion on protests in sports across leagues, then tune in for a discussion on the importance of Black history in sports, what's been achieved, and the important work left to be done, all discussion on the Locked On Presents podcast feed. Subscribe on the radio.com app or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so let's look at A.J. Brown. He finished 11 in overall half-point PPR, scoring 5th in average, so pretty high there. So he was a wide receiver 1, however you cut it. So yeah, Tannehill QB 1, Derrick Henry in RB 1. Brown was also a solid wide receiver 1. 70 catches, 1,075 yards, 11 TDs, 106 targets. So the TDs really were boosted. 15.4 yards per catch there for A.J. Brown. So continues to be a field stretcher. He did this in only 14 games, by the way. So missed a couple, started only 12. So pretty good number. The touchdowns, again, those can fluctuate. I think you're looking at a baseline of like 7 or 8. But I think the yardage could go up here. I think he can get more involved. They're not, again, a high-volume passing team. 74-106 is a pretty good catch rate, but it could get better from 66%. So, again, A.J. Brown could go up, it could fluctuate, but however you look at it, he is a wide receiver 1 in fantasy. He's the clear number 1 receiver on his team, just getting started. A young receiver with a lot of special abilities, stretched the field, also finished drives in the red zone. Great chemistry at Tannehill. So, yeah, I think the beat's going to go on here for A.J. Brown. And again, he should go among the top 10 receivers, I think. That's how good he is. Again, you know, the touchdowns up and down, but again, however you look at it, A.J. Brown is a special, special player and a guy you want to target early as a wide receiver 1. Now, Corey Davis came in as a pretty strong wide receiver 3, 31st in overall scoring, 11.4, 30th average there in half-point PPR. So, big year for Corey Davis. Part of this was that Adam Humphries, now released, was hurt here. So, he only had 23 catches for 35 targets, 228 yards, and 2 TDs. So, when it wasn't Brown, it was a lot of Davis. 984 yards receiving and 5 TDs for Davis. Pretty good. Near the 1,000 mark. 65 catches on 92 targets. So he had a better catch rate of 70.7. And just 14 fewer targets than Brown. So they were kind of used as co-players here as the go-to guys for Ryan Tannehill. 15.4 yards per catch, we mentioned, for Brown. 15.1 for Corey Davis. So very similar usage here all over the field. Big size and good speed. The first-round pick. Davis was as well. Brown is a special player we know as a second rounder. So now the question is, does Davis get re-signed? I think he probably cashed in. He's going to become a free agent. So it's going to be hard for the Titans to potentially keep him here in the mix. So Humphries is already gone. So what do they do with that second receiver spot? It really was a drop-off there because they used a lot of the tight ends. But when you look at just wide receiver, there was nobody behind Brown and Davis. When Humphries didn't play, you had Cameron Batson, you had Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. That's it. So there's definitely a void there if Davis leaves for someone to pick up those vacated targets, 92. Well, you add it with Humphries, there's 127 vacated targets potentially on this team. So something to watch for the Titans, who they put in at that number 2, so to speak, complimentary receiver to A.J. Brown. Now, Jonas Smith is a free agent. There's been some priority on him. 8 TDs for him, that really helped his value in a down year for tight ends overall. However you look at it, he was 10th. 8.6 points per game and half-point PPR, so 10th overall, 10th in average. He was one of the last tight end starters that you could look at, and part of it was tied to those 8 touchdowns. He ended up with 9 combined touchdowns here. From scrimmage, he had a 4-yard rushing score as well that counted as that, but 452 and 9, essentially. Only 41 catches, so really got it done with the scoring mainly here for Jonas Smith. That can go up and down. Will he still be in the mix here? Anthony Firkser did have a significant role here. He had 39 catches, so only 2 less for Firkser, 387 and 1. So basically, The big difference between Firkser and Jonu Smith, beyond those 50-something kind of yards, it was the scoring. So you had 9 versus 1. So that was really the difference. Do they feel comfortable with Firkser having a bigger role here? Do they re-sign Smith? Do they franchise tag him? Do they look at that? He fits well in this offense. We've been teased with Jonu Smith being a bigger asset, but again, he is a tight end one. We just sort of thought he could be a top half tight end one, and maybe he has that potential if things change here with the receiving core and he has to go up the ladder and they keep him there in the mix with this team. But yeah, Smith, we're going to watch, especially if Davis departs here from that situation. Anthony Firkser, by the way, 4.0 points a game, finished 30th there overall tight end and 40th in average points per game. Now, let's turn over to Steven Gostkowski in the kicking game. He was 29th, 7.9, so well, or 21st, I should say, well off the radar there in terms of kicking as a regular kicker. He missed some big kicks. He wasn't so consistent, so that is a concern. And we've talked about the Texans. They were 31st in fantasy football defensive scoring. The Jaguars were 28th. Here's one more really bad defense from last year. The Tennessee Titans, 26th, 3.9 points per game. And really, they need to upgrade the playmaking quotient. Their pass rush really left a lot to be desired here. Only a limited number of sacks, 19. That's a really bad total here for the Titans, and only 15 interceptions. So they had some games where they went off and made their deals happen. Malcolm Butler and Amani Hooker had 4 interceptions each to lead the team, but really pretty bad. And when you look at it, the sacks are really hard to get. Harold Landry, 5.5 was the most on this team. Everyone else just was kind of piecemeal together, but only 19 sacks, only 15 interceptions. Those numbers are going to have to go up greatly here for the Titans to be trusted in that situation as a defense that you think with Mike Vrabel it should be better. They're looking at maybe a change in the defensive coordinator here, so we'll see how that plays here overall for the Titans if that change does affect them anyway, but I think a lot of it is personnel-based. And J.D. Moncloudy did not work out, and now he's going back into free agency. So, yeah, the Titans really need to focus on upgrading their situation defensively on all 3 levels, and they do have some secondary issues they have to sort out as well. So we'll get into looking at where they stand with the salary cap, free agency, draft picks, all that in our final segment. But first, I gotta tell you, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football is over, but NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline will even cover award shows, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It is the best way to place your bets, and it is free to sign up now at betonline.ag. Head to the website or use a mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, you just have to use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's the promo code LOCKEDON at betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We'll be right back to look at the transitional look at the 2021 Tennessee Titans. All right, so final segment here on the Titans, final segment on the teams from the AFC South, putting a bow on what just happened, what just might happen for them. I do have to remind you on the network, Thursdays on Locked On NFL, are must listen as Ryan Tracy and Jake Liskow break down teams across the NFL from an analytics and team building perspective. Get the expert analysis on your favorite teams from Ryan and Jake every Thursday. Subscribe to Locked On NFL wherever you get your podcasts. All right, the Titans, we already said they moved on from Adam Humphries. They have $1.9 million under the cap at this very moment without Humphries. 2 guys that they could cut, Malcolm Butler. We mentioned him as leading them in interceptions, but they could save $10.2 million there. Adoree Jackson has been as a disappointment there. First-round pick from USC as a corner. He hasn't been healthy. $10.2 million that they could make some room there to try to keep some of their free agents. Corey Davis leads that list. For now, I think Corey Davis could be on his way out looking for the bigger payday that the Titans may necessarily not want to give him, knowing that A.J. Brown needs a contract. So Jonu Smith would be next there. Jeff Swaim and Michael Pruitt, 2 backup tight ends, are also eligible to go into free agency. So we'll see. I think Jonu is going to be a priority over Davis if they clear some room here to make that happen. Jonu is just a special athlete and very good blocker, key to what they're doing. We're all Davis has been very good. He's not their number one. They don't want to pay him like that if another team is going to do that in free agency. So no franchise tag come for Davis. Certainly could come here for Jonas Smith before next Tuesday's deadline. So we'll see if Firkser has a big role or Smith comes back and Firkser just goes back to being not much here. You also have Senarese Perry. He's a backup running back, so he should be moving on. I think Evans will be the guy here. You have J.D. Van Clowney there. Defensively, he's a big free agent. Desmond King, they acquired him from the Chargers in the middle of last year. You have J.R. Brown, the linebacker, as well as Daquan Jones up front here for the Titans. So a few things they have to navigate through as they try to make their defense better. Offensively, again, they've got to decide how they're going to bring the pecking order behind Brown going forward. Again, my bet is Smith coming back, but Davis not here. And the team really going to be in the market for a wide receiver, either slot like Kadarius Toney there in the draft late in the first round, or looking for that classic outside receiver, maybe Terrace Marshall of LSU. Look at the Titans. They have the standard issue here of 7 picks, 22 overalls, the first one, 53, 86, 117, 150, 161, and 191. So a good haul of picks here for the Titans. Pretty standard, 22 they're going to decide. I think edge pass rusher will be the priority here. They need to get the sacks up after only 19 last year, so wide receiver might be a stretch. So we're going to watch what they do in free agency, either with keeping Davis or going after a replacement here that they can play outside the slot to complement Brown. Again, Smith, we hope they can bring him back. And again, they can make a couple moves to fit in that contract here going forward. Franchise tag would be really smart. Tight end, it's pretty cheap. You get someone around $10 million locked in for one more year, much like Hunter Henry was for the Chargers in 2020. So, yeah, defense is going to be the priority. They could look in many different ways. I think corner, if they move on from those guys, mix things up, that's not a bad way to go. They're pretty decent at safety, so I don't see them going that way. Late first round, a linebacker, get edge rusher versatility, trying to get someone on the second level. That's going to be priority. It doesn't matter if they're more end-leaning or more like a linebacker who can cover some ground as well beyond rushing the passer. But certainly the Titans have to make defense a priority. So some things could be on the back burner. Again, they could also look a little bit on the offensive line here to upgrade that, but they should be pretty good once Luan comes back healthy here for the Titans. So there you have it. There's a look at your Tennessee Titans, what they did in 2020. It's pretty good overall. When you lead with good triplets and Tannehill, Henry, and Brown, and then you had some complimentary players like Davis and Smith come through. So we'll watch what happens with Davis and Smith. We'll see what happens behind Henry if they think Evans is the guy. Things to watch there, but Tannehill in a good position here without Arthur Smith to keep producing in the Titans offense. A very intriguing team, but also an underrated team in terms of fantasy football production outside of kicker and defense here in Nashville. So thanks so much for listening to this latest look at a team from the AFC South. That means we're going to kick off the NFC South next. So next team in line, we still have to go back to the top of the alphabet, Atlanta Falcons. So interesting, again, where Arthur Smith went to become the head coach. A lot of question marks about what the Falcons are going to do. So we'll take a deep dive into the ATL. Assuming we don't have any breaking news, that'll be our next show. So thanks again. If you missed any of the other teams, either from the AFC South or another division I did before that, we went through the Easts there and the Norths. Go check it out. They're on the archive there for you on Locked On Fantasy Football. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. Have a great day. See you tomorrow, hopefully with a look at the Atlanta Falcons.